Nancy has an announcement.
We are having an open mic night this Saturday, April 9th from 7 until 10 p.m. That's right, our music committee is hosting an open mic fundraiser to send Zeke McKay and Jack Franken on their marvelous adventure to the UU Children's Choir this summer. We'll have music and some spoken word, food and drink, and lots of fun and friends. Jack, are you here? Will you come up and show us what we'll be doing? Can you come over here?
Here's part of it.
Sing a song, sing out loud, sing out strong.
Thank you. There's no admission, but free will donations will be gladly accepted. You can look at the poster in the lobby or talk to me or Doug or look at the sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the social hall. And thanks, and we hope we see all of you there.
Thank you. We come together today to laugh and to celebrate at a joyous feast of fools, knowing that not only do we not know the answers, but admitting that we may have just gotten all the questions wrong too. I invite you to share today in a humorous look at Unitarian Universalism and at religion in general. Don't be afraid. Go ahead and laugh, and in laughter find carbonated holiness. Come and let us worship here together. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people sitting near you.
A Unitarian Universalist if...
Oh, if you're unsure about the gender of God, is it a man, is it a woman, a boy, a girl, a dog? You know, the Chinese philosopher Basha once said, a hole without a hole is not a hole. And a donut without a hole, well, that's Danish.
You might be a Unitarian Universalist if...
You embrace your Pastafarianism. You may not study the Ten Commandments, but... I won't read them all. Rather, the eight, they lost two, condiments, known as the eight, I'd really rather you didn't. I'd really rather you didn't act like a sanctimonious holier-than-thou ass when describing my noodly goodness. If some people don't believe in me, that's okay, really. I'm not that vain. Really. Rather, you don't judge people for the way they look or how they dress or the way they talk or, well, just play nice, okay? Oh, and get this in your thick heads. Woman is person, man is person, samey-samey.
You might be a Unitarian Universalist if...
All right, this is the no offense disclaimer part. The only time you were use the word... Jesus, or is when you've stubbed your toe really bad.
You might be a Unitarian Universalist if...
All right, so you're having trouble singing the hymns, right? And we all know, generally speaking, it's because you've read ahead, right? You want to see if you agree with the words. That's part of it, right? Now, the experienced you use, they don't have this problem because their tendency is they've already changed the words. So they're not, you know, put off and delayed by this. The real question is, do you sing those changed words out?
You might be a Unitarian Universalist if...
You're not even sure what a Unitarian Universalist is. Now, there is an orientation class today at 12 o'clock, and there's food.
And so, to whom it may concern, these thoughts, prayers, good vibes, karma, cosmic forces, or whatever, we offer to you. If there is a you, or not, anyway, we're setting this chalice on fire. Amen. Enter. Send. Please join us in singing Holly Near's I ain't afraid. The words are in the on the insert in your order of service, and the choir is going to teach us the tune. It's very simple, so don't be afraid.
Choir's got two verses and kind of a little introduction to do, and then I'll cue you, and it's time for the congregation to start singing.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love and laughter, in everything we do. My name is Reverend Rabbi Sister Sue, and I am officiating at this service, as is Reverend Amy, who has graciously agreed to give the sermon. But I get to tell you that each and every one of us is welcome here. Whether we giggle or guffaw, we are welcome here. Whether we're serious or silly, we are welcome here. Straight, gay, trans, cis, or none of the above, we are welcome here. LCUUC is a UUA recognized welcoming congregation, which means we welcome and affirm all people, regardless of whom they love, or what pronouns they use, or whether they have a sense of humor. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in the social hall after the service, and while you're there, stop by the welcome table. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming activities, and we hope you'll all join in. Check out the lcuuc.org webpage, like and follow us on Facebook. And please take a moment to be sure you've silenced all your ring-a-ding-a thingies. We are jubilant that you have chosen to laugh and worship with us.
Well, me and the boys are just as proud as we could be to be here to play and sing for you today. Why, you can see, just look at the look on the boys' faces. You can see the excitement right there.
I ain't proud.
I'm having a wardrobe malfunction here because my guitar pickup fell inside my guitar.
You don't normally dress himself.
Yeah. We don't normally do this high-powered amplification stuff. We just play around home. But the thing that we like even better than playing and singing for y'all is listening to a good radio preacher. Let's just see if that sound man back there can turn on the radio and we'll hear our favorite, the Reverend Al.
Thank you, Saggy. And welcome all y'all, all y'all. Now, brothers and sisters and brethren and sistren and moms and dads and all y'all, I want you to think about your souls, right? And put your soul in your hand, and put your hand in your pocket and find your wallets. I want you to take that $5 bill I know you got in there. Take it out of that wallet purse. Do it. Go on. And I want you to put that $5 bill, right there on your radio where you hear my marvelous, marvelous, melodious voice coming through to you on this high-powered radio station, Saggy Bottom NTN. All right, now, you got that dollar bill, that $5 bill, that $10 bill on your radio? Huh? Yeah, I see you nodding. All right. Well, here we are with Reverend Al's Tabernacle and Used Tire Emporium. And you put that bill on your old radio at home, I'll bless it. And you know, I'll make sure that gets to good use.
Boys, I'm just all fired up now. I can just see that all of you two are awful worked up. And so I think we better play a song before they just boil over. What do you say, boys, we do that radio song? Thank you.
Come and listen in to the radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
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 Come and listen in to the Glory Land chorus. Listen to the glad hosannas roll. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Get a little taste of love eternal. Get a little heaven in your soul. Get in touch with God.
In touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the ear. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory share.
Glory
share. Turn your lights down low.
Turn your lights down low.
And listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Brother Tim. And the mothers and the mighty friends gone on before. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Some eternal morning we shall meet them over on the hallelujah shore. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And glory share.
Glory share.
Turn your lights down low.
Turn your lights down low.
Listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God.
In touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn
your lights down low.
Turn your lights down low.
Listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
One of the ways that we take care of our community is by contributing to the food pantries around us financially and through the collection of non-perishables. We recently had the 5th and 6th grade transitions class collect food for Hunger Task Force. And this is from Jonathan Hansen, the director of development there, who said, "Please accept my gratitude for your organization's gift to Hunger Task Force of 6 pounds of donated food and 63 jars of peanut butter. This generosity will keep the safety net intact for those struggling with hunger in our community. For those facing hunger in Milwaukee, your gift means the world. It means seniors and families won't have to choose between a roof over their head or a meal on their table, and a child used to skipping meals won't have to. You've stepped up to ensure the health and safety of those in need, and in doing so, have set a remarkable example for others to follow. So thank you all." If you have food items with you today, you can bring them up yourself or have one of the children bring them up, and I invite the children to stay up front for a story. And today's story is a retelling of a story called My Father Goes to Court by Carlos Bolasan. And Carlos is Filipino, and he grew up very poor in the Philippines. So when Carlos was 4, he says, I lived with my mom and my brothers and my sisters in a little tiny town on an island called Luzon. Our farm had been destroyed, so we lived in the town rather than the country. We were poor, but our next-door neighbor was very, very rich. And his sons and his daughters almost never came out of the house. My family played and ran around in the sun. His kids stayed inside and kept the windows closed and played with their expensive toys that they couldn't bring out and got broken. His house was so big that his kids could look out their windows and see right into our windows. And they could tell if we were eating or sleeping or playing. It was a little weird. Now, the servants over at the rich man's house were always cooking something good. What kinds of things do you think they were cooking?
French fries.
French fries? What else? What smells really good when it cooks?
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers? That smells good. What else? What do you like? What smells good? Noodle soup? What do you think?
I was still saying something.
Well, keep thinking. Who else?
Burnt ice cream.
Burnt ice cream? Okay. Kai? Say it again. All right. All this stuff smells really good when it's cooking. And Carlos and his family were really poor, so they couldn't afford all this expensive stuff. But they would stand by the fence and they would smell the good stuff coming over. And they'd laugh at how nice it smelled and how much they wish they had some. Carlos said, I can remember one day when they roasted 3 whole chickens. You could smell it everywhere. It smelled like fried chicken, and we wanted some and we laughed. We watched them take the chicken away. But the smell and the spirit of the chicken drifted over to us. Sometimes the rich man would look out his window and snarl at all of us. How do you think that looked? Can you guys snarl? Arr. He looked at us one by one and he would shake his finger. We all felt healthy because we went out in the sun and we played in the river and we ran and we jumped. We were always laughing. Other neighbors who came by would laugh with us. But as time went on, the kids who never left the house got skinny and pale, and they started to cough because they never came out in the sun and they never laughed. We sounded healthier and healthier. And one day the rich man came at the window and looked at us all. He looked at my sisters who had gotten very strong and then at my brothers whose arms and legs were like tree trunks. What does it look like when you're really strong? Can you do this? Show your muscles. Carlos's whole family was strong. They'd walk around doing this. And the kids next door were pitiful and sick. The rich man locked all his windows. Wouldn't even let his kids look out anymore. And then one day, a policeman came to Carlos's house. He was laughing, but he said the rich man had filed a complaint against them. What do you think the complaint was? What could he possibly complain about? It was pretty silly. The man claimed that for years they had been stealing the spirit of his food and his money. Well, the day came for the family to go to court. Carlos's dad cleaned up his old army uniform and borrowed a pair of shoes from his brother. They got there and they waited and they waited. The rich man arrived with his family. His face looked all drawn up and he was very pale from never going out in the sun, and his kids looked weak and feeble, hardly able to stand up. People came from miles around just to see this trial. The judge came in and he sat up on his high chair. The judge looked at Carlos's dad and said, "Do you have a lawyer?" And his dad said, "I don't need a lawyer, judge." "Well, go ahead," said the judge. The rich man's lawyer jumped up and pointed at Carlos's dad. Do you or do you not agree that you have been stealing? You've been stealing the spirit of the food. No, I haven't, said Father. Do you or do you not agree that while our servants cooked and fried fat legs of chicken and cheeseburgers and pizza, you and your family hung outside our fence, smelling everything up? Okay, said Dad. We did that. Do you or do you not agree that the rich man and his children are all skinny and pale and feeble? And look at you and your kids. You're all strong from the spirit of the food. Carlos's dad looked around and said, well, I guess. Well, how do you account for that? Said the lawyer. Carlos's dad walked around and scratched his head and said, could I see the rich man's kids, please? And the kids all stood up, and they were very, very pale and very, very sick. Carlos's dad said, do you claim that we took the spirit of your money and we laughed a lot while you got sad? Yes, said the kids. Do you claim we stole the spirit of your cheeseburgers? Yes, said the kids. Then we are going to pay you right now, said Carlos's dad. And he went to each one of his kids, his brave, strong, healthy kids, and he said, reach in your pockets and see if you got any change. And each of the kids reached in their pocket, and they pulled out some change, one after another. They didn't have much. They pulled out some pennies and some quarters and some dimes and some nickels. And Father collected it all in a big cup, and he put the lid on. It was nowhere near enough money to buy all the food over the years. And he said, all right, I'm ready now. And the judge said, well, go ahead. And Father walked into the next room, and he went like this, as hard as he could. And the judge said, what are you doing? He said, wait a minute, can everybody hear me? And the kids all agreed, yeah, we can hear you. It's really loud. He said, what do you hear? They said, well, we hear the spirit of the money that you're shaking. He said, and you said we stole the spirit of your food. He said, yeah. He said, well, then you're paid. I just gave you the spirit of the money. There you go. We paid back for everything. The rich man started to say something, and when his kids start laughing, he just covered his face and slunk out of court, embarrassed. The judge tried to keep a straight face, but he couldn't. He cracked up. And then Carlos's dad and all of Carlos's brothers and sisters laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed at how their father had tricked the man. And Carlos said he wants everybody to remember that sometimes laughing can get you out of a bad situation if you just remember to laugh. So thank you all for listening to my story today. And can I have Kaya, my lantern bearer? May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. And if everyone would help me in singing the children out, the song is called For You Shall Go Out, and the words are written in your order of service.
Brothers, my sisters, do you hear me? Can I get a hosanna? You've turned your radio on and listen to the glorious sounds of the Saggy Bottom Boys, and some of you may recognize a few of them in there. I think they were from that defunct Lost Souls band, so glad to see them back in our house of worship. Now, listening to that spiritual piece by the Saggy Boys, I know that that's brought new heights of spirituality to you. You have said you're not afraid of the divine. Can I get an hallelujah? Mm-hmm. Now, bring out those baskets, brethren and sistren. You know, it's time to dig deep. Yeah, it's time to reach out. Remember, before there was nothing, then y'all came along and look what we got. Well, we need something. So it's time to reach out. It's time to explore the places. Bring them out, brothers, sisters, and bring those baskets out. Come on, what are y'all standing on the back of the room for? You know, because you sacrifice, we do the greater good. You know, here at Reverend Al's Unitarian Universalist Tabernacle in Used Tire Emporium, we don't just value you. Yeah, we value your cash. And that goes straight into supporting our magnificent programming. And, well, Amy, you don't have to remind me not to have one of my relatives, you know, go out there and steal one of them Priuses that's in the parking lot for used pot sales, do you? You know, you think, well, where are I at with that? Okay. So now, brethren, this is your church. You know, we know you value questions over creed, value questions over dogma. Understand you're going to get questions, and certainly from me, no answers. So dig deep, brethren, sistren, and otherins, all you otherins, dig deep. We appreciate that more than, well, your soul could ever do good enough to us for. So the morning offering is taken, and may y'all be blessed and keep your PSs running good. Thank y'all.
We thank the Reverend Al for that sanctimonious message and our serious thanks for the gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. You are so appreciated. This is the moment in our service where we are going to be serious for just a moment and where we're going to share our joys and concerns together. Before the service, you can always silently light a candle at the table, but during the service, we speak together and we light candles together. So would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
This is Carrie. I'd like two candles this morning, please. One for my son, Greg. I have a joy. He was hospitalized last week for appendectomy. He went home, went back in for surgical complications, but he's fine. And a candle of concern for my mom, who also went in the hospital last week, and is her health is really declining. So candle for her, please.
Scott here. Those of you who know my family well, we're pretty outdoorsy types, and we were recently out west to visit a good friend of mine who is also a very outdoorsy guy. And unfortunately, we got word in the Chicago airport as we were heading out that his battle with cancer, brain cancer, came to an end. So very joy in the sense that his suffering is now done, concern for his wife and all the wonderful friends he left behind, including my wife and I.
Hi, this is Mark. Many of you know some of the troubles I went through with my son with mental health, bipolar, suicide attempts, jail time, many stays in mental health facilities. Well, I have a big joy. For the last 5 years, because of modern medicine and his willingness to take it, he's been stable, working, and married. And almost 2 weeks ago, he and his wife gave birth to my first grandchild, beautiful daughter, Cora. Everyone is well.
All right, and we light our last candle this morning for all of those joys and all of those concerns that we hold so deeply but have not named here today.
The first reading is from How to Approach Religion, Laugh and Laugh Again by Deepak Chopra. The inability of some religious people to laugh at themselves betrays, I think, a great deal of insecurity. What if God was a 2-year-old toddler and you were his mother? You'd spend your day keeping close watch, only find calm when your child was taking a nap. But God isn't 2 years old, and she doesn't need taking care of. I wish religious people took the analogy seriously, because they are constantly rushing in to protect God, screaming in outrage when she is surely laughing. God may very well see the universe as a divine comedy. Every exploding nova could be an explosion of laughter. Nobody knows. But when we look around us, nature is at play. Every wild animal, at least when young, spends its day playing, apparently in innocent delight. A tiger cub and a human infant have that in common. The difference is that the tiger grows up in peace with its ferocity. Humans grow up to find themselves burdened with guilt, shame, and anxiety. To relieve these afflictions, we turn to religion, but also to comedy. In an age obsessed with triviality, a silly, lighthearted comedy arouses controversy, while religion keeps fostering an unending litany of war, intolerance, and violence. For all these reasons, more comedies should cross the line between vulgar lampoon and reckless disrespect. let's catch God with his pants down. Or, more especially, those who peddle faith in God so self-righteously. Christianity has been mocked in Monty Python's Life of Brian, Judaism in Adam Sandler's Don't Mess with the Zohan, and Islam, very mildly, in Albert Brooks' Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World. Let's look for comedy in the whole world. As for Hindu fundamentalists who are shocked by the love guru, let them remember Lila. She is a goddess whose playfulness, runs the activity of the universe. Last time I looked, Lila was a Hindu goddess. That must have escaped the minds of true believers who condemn what they should be enjoying. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in what you all will pretend is a moment of meditation or prayer, but is really a brief nap.
Dana Warsnop's Elevator Story by Dana Warsnop. At a great international interfaith gathering at a major convention hotel, five delegates found themselves waiting and waiting for the elevator following one of the sessions. To break the monotony and silence, one of the delegates suggested they play a little game. Let's see if we can explain our faith in the time it takes the elevator to go from here to the first floor. Although they would have to travel up and down several times, the delegates agreed. On the first trip down from the 10th to the first floor, the Roman Catholic delegate volunteered to begin. He recited the Apostles' Creed and finished just as the doors opened on the lobby. Next, the Universalist Christian delegate pushed the button for the 10th floor and proceeded to say, "We Universalists believe in the essential goodness of humanity and of God. We believe that God loves all creatures and intends our well-being and happiness in this world and the next. We believe in a God who rewards and does not punish." The Universalist was finished well before the elevator reached the 10th floor. Next, it was the Hindu delegate's turn. Pressing the button for the lobby, she began, "We Hindus believe in the great wheel of life. All is a cycle, and what has been will be again. It is for us to understand our place in this turning, to do what falls to us to do, and to celebrate our place in the scheme of existence." Like the Universalist, she was finished long before the elevator reached its destination. Now it fell to the Zen Buddhist delegate to push the button for the 10th floor. All waited eagerly for him to begin, but there was only silence as the car traveled the 10th floor. floors. When the doors opened, they asked the Zen Buddhist, "Why did you not say anything to us about your belief?" He replied, "In saying nothing, I said all there is to say." The interfaith conference delegates scratched their heads and looked to the Unitarian Universalist delegate, the last to take a turn. The elevator doors closed, and she reached out to push the button. All were surprised when she pushed two. "Why did you not push the button for the lobby?" they asked. "Because," the Unitarian delegate replied, "there's a great little coffee shop on the second floor where we can kick back and really discuss this." Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 368. Now let us sing.
So you get to pick which part you want to sing. You want to do the high part? Or you want to sing the da-da-da-da? Pick, choose whichever you want. Tracy, can you give us a sample of the bass part? You choose. That's just one thing. Let's repeat the first verse back again at the end. Okay.
Begin my sermon, I'd like to ask the Reverend Rabbi Sister Sue to lead us in prayer. Sue, if you wouldn't mind.
Sisters and brothers, you precious souls who personify the spirit of life, may the goddess help us. We take these moments to rejoice in our many blessings, a shower of blessings, a deluge of blessings, the greatest of which is that we have gotten religion exactly right. Although we tactfully don't make a big deal of that. We are blessed with humility, although we have many reasons for pride. After all, we are friendly. In fact, we throw out anyone who is not friendly right away. We are always sincere, even if we have to fake it. We believe in tolerance and cannot abide intolerant people. We are optimists. Anyone who doesn't look on the bright side depresses us. We are more non-competitive than other groups or religions. We win at being non-competitive. We believe in equality. Everyone is as good as the next person, and occasionally a whole lot better. We are prompt about arriving at church at precisely 10:05, and our freedom of belief is rigidly enforced. Dearest brothers and sisters, we are so very blessed. We would be even more blessed if you upped your fair trade coffee purchases by 8 to 10% this year so that we can continue a bountiful diversity, people of many beliefs and practices, except those that deal with snakes or that would keep us from a Packers game. Blessed be.
Thank you for that truly unforgettable prayer. The original Feast of Fools really was a thing, and it was an early Christian holiday, and by early I mean very early. And it was celebrated on the same day as the Feast of the Circumcision. If this doesn't sound like a party you would like to attend, you are probably right. A low-level cleric or priest was elected Lord of Misrule for the day. They were given a big staff, and they were allowed to make ridiculous rules that had to be followed for the entire day by the rest of their order. You will be surprised to hear that the Lord of Misrule's life expectancy was often very short the next day. As senior and very senior priests and monks have little sense of humor when it comes to being forced to wear their underpants on their head for 12 hours. It got so bad, and this is true, that in 1245, Cardinal Odo, the papal legate in France, wrote to the chapter of Sens Cathedral demanding that the feast be celebrated with no clerical undress and no more wreaths of flowers. I have no idea what they made this poor guy do the year before, but apparently he was very upset about it. The Catholic Church finally outlawed the custom in 1444, but you can still see traces of it in any tradition where a child or a low-level worker is made the boss for a day and allowed to make all kinds of wild rules. Religion is easy to laugh at, but the Feast of Fools wasn't meant for a laugh at the weak. It made clowns out of those who were considered too important to be snickered at the rest of the year and reminded everyone that we are just fools of the divine. The holiday was wiped out when it was changed from its original purpose and became mockery. And mockery is cruel and doesn't have much purpose in religion. You hear it usually in stand-up comedy routines or when members of one religious group laugh at the sacred beliefs of another group. It's kind of the opposite of cultural appropriation. It's a type of cultural rejection that shrugs its shoulders and says, oh, it's okay, we were just having fun. Because let's face it, every religion, every one of us on the planet, at its heart, is mockable. Religion, by nature, deals with faith and personal belief and the belief in things you can't touch. Things that may not always make perfect sense when you try to explain them to someone else. We all end up sounding like we're arguing over whether or not we believe in the same or different invisible friends and whether my invisible friend can kick your invisible friend in the butt. We all have sacred cows. We all have strange sounding beliefs that don't quite work when we try to explain them. Any religion, including atheism, which is a religious position, when reduced to concrete sound bites, can sound goofy. And that isn't the reason why we're here. In 2004, there was a youth con in Ferry Beach, Maine. And one of the things the adults and kids at that youth con did was spend some time examining humor and religion. And they looked at good and bad humor for each of our principles. And I loved this idea, so of course I swiped it. Our first principle is the one that most of us remember without the list in front of us, and it's the idea that everybody has inherent worth and dignity. And dignity and worth are what painful and abusive humor take away. Good humor makes us all laugh. It puts the focus on shared experience and on laughing at ourselves rather than others. I'll give you a great example. I myself will admit to having two large faults. I have a terrible temper, and I'm shameless about spoiling any animal within my reach. Those of you who read my Facebook page may be well aware of this. This often results in quite a bit of humor for anyone around. And last year, my poor husband watched through the window as I went chasing through the snow, following something large and furry while wearing bedroom slippers. He couldn't tell what was happening, but I slammed back through the door and I was holding a Tupperware container and yelling like a fool about, "Teach that little stinker to take this from me." And without hesitation, Brian sat there a minute and said, "Did you really just mug a badger for its lunchbox?" And in that moment, I couldn't see the humor. I was still yelling and I had it. I said, "It was a raccoon and it was the cat's lunchbox and this isn't funny." By then he was giggling so hard he'd put his head under the table hoping I wouldn't boink him with the lunchbox. And I've learned to laugh at my own temper, especially when it leads me to chase local wildlife to retrieve the cat's dish. When we laugh at UUism, it should be that kind of laughter. Laughter that celebrates our uniqueness and our personality and those moments of being UU that we can't reduce to that reasonable soundbite. We laugh because there is a grain of truth in the silliness, and in that grain we recognize our commonality. The copy machine broke down at a UU church, a disaster of biblical proportions. Because it was Sunday, no repair person could be called until the next day, and the admin assist desperately needed more copies of the order of service. They worked and they fluttered and they ran around the machine for a long time, and a member who was more mechanically inclined finally looked at the blinking light and said, "Guys, it's just out of paper. The box says right there, replace paper in tray 2. Can't anyone follow directions?" And another member said, "Well, if we were the kind of people who follow directions, we wouldn't be Unitarian Universalists." Our second and sixth principles call us to justice and equity, compassion and peace, liberty and justice for all people. This means that jokes that target a particular group are often bad humor and violate this call to compassion. We seek instead humor that reminds us we're all in this together. The original con came up with these rules. Just remember that people have feelings. Develop the ability to laugh with and not at. Be surprised at how well your own ideas and those of others might turn out. Think before you speak. Make jokes that expand rather than impose on a person's right to search for what they believe. accept, honor, and celebrate rather than make fun of the differences. Those jokes sound something like this. Why did the Unitarian Universalist cross the road? To support the chicken in the search for its own path. A little Unitarian Universalist girl was sitting on the curb in front of her house with a sad look. And a very nice older lady happened upon her and asked why she was so sad. And the girl said, "My kitty died." And the older woman, who was a staunch Baptist, was trying to be helpful. And she said, "I know you're sad, but your kitty cat is with Jesus and it's okay." The little girl looked at her for a minute and said, "Why in the heck would Jesus want a dead cat?" Spiritual growth and a free and responsible search for truth and meaning give us a great deal of humor. Arguing with a UU is like mud wrestling with a pig. Pretty soon you realize the pig just loves it. UUs are the people who pray to whom it may concern. What do you get when you cross a UU and a Jehovah's Witness? Someone who goes door to door looking for a new discussion. A UU woman was driving to church as she passed a little girl standing in front of the Catholic church with a big box with a number of kittens. And the sign read, "Catholic kittens, free to a good home." The next Sunday, the woman noticed the kid and the kittens at the Methodist church with a sign that said, "Methodist kittens, free to a good home." The third Sunday, she saw the girl and the kittens in front of the woman's own church with a sign that said, "UU kittens, free to a good home." She stomped up to the girl and said, "Look, what's going on? You had Catholic kittens a couple weeks ago, Methodist kitten last week. What makes them UU kittens now?" And the girl said, "Well, this week their eyes are open." Humor points out our differences and can be used to hurt or heal. When we look at the rights of conscience and the democratic process, humor often becomes satire or sarcasm. And the struggle is to keep the funny focused away from stereotyping or attacking. And again, to center the humor on the human condition itself. I'm sure many, many of you have heard a version of this one. How many of you use does it take to change a light bulb? Well, 300. 12 to sit on the board that appoints the nominating committee. 5 to sit on the nominating committee that appoints the building committee. 8 to sit on the building committee that appoints the light bulb changing committee. 4 to sit on the light bulb changing committee, which chooses who will screw in the light bulb. Those 4 will then give their opinion of the screwing in methods, while Colin Johnson will show up and actually do the light bulb installation. After completion, it takes 100 individuals to complain about the method of installation, another 177 to debate on the ecological impact of using a light bulb at all, and 1 to insist that back in their day, the daggone lit chalice was good enough. The interconnected web of all life is the final principle and the one that reminds us that we are all fools at times. And the world will not end because today was your turn. It reminds us that laughter can hold us together when it seems like everything else is breaking apart. A huge fire was burning in the town square, and it looked as though everything would burn down. The Catholics rushed into their church to save their crucifix and their beautiful communion set. The Baptists rushed into their church to save their historic Bible. The Unitarian Universalist rushed into their church to save the coffee pot and the fair trade coffee. As we head toward an emotionally charged presidential election, at a time when economic inequality has reached epic levels and racial and religious tensions are rising in ways we haven't seen since the 60s, we have to remember how to laugh at ourselves and our world. When we share nothing else with our neighbors, we share the sure and certain knowledge that foolishness is universal and laughter is healing. Sometimes that's all we've got, and sometimes it's enough. Look for the humor that reminds you that all of us are one people. Laugh together when you can't do anything else. It is the one thing you have when all else fails. And welcome the chance to be a feast of fools. Amen.
extinguish this chalice, grateful that, again, nothing has gone up in flames, may you carry the light and warmth of laughter and love with you as you go. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn, Think I'll Just Let the Mystery Be. The words are on your order of service insert, and the choir will teach us the tune.
There are a lot of words in this song, so if you feel like you can just sing along on the chorus, we repeat it often enough, you'll learn it. Otherwise, if you know the song, please join in on the verse too.
Smile and know that laughter will brighten even your darkest days. Peace, and may it be so. Now get out.
Hey, the brain.